back to our study of 1 Thessalonians, we were in chapter 4, and we had just finished reading verses 13 through 18. And I'm going to reread those to you this evening, and I am back in the King James Version this evening, so y'all bear with me as I read from that. And we're going to begin this evening after we read with a question that was asked, and I'll present that to y'all in just a few minutes. Okay, I'm in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, after we had read that and talked a little bit last session about the rapture, we had a very good question that was presented. And that question was, I have been to lots of different funeral services, and the question was presented to me, or the scripture was read at these funeral services, for me to die, to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. And that's a scripture that is quoted often, particularly at memorial services and whatnot. And so here was the question. How does that relate to rapture? And what does that mean? What happens to the body? Valid questions, right? Have you ever thought that yourself and wondered that yourself? If you die, what happens with the body? How does all of this relate? And so oftentimes we've been taught that Scripture will interpret Scripture. And so what we want to do tonight is dig a little bit deeper into this concept that we call rapture. And we want to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to start all the way at verse 35. And we're going to look at verses 35 through 50 because there's some really good information here that explains what we just read about in 1 Thessalonians. So looking at verse 35, and I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? It's a good question, right? Sounds familiar with the question that I was just asked, doesn't it?
Yeah, I get asked, I've been asked several times, you know, about am I going to know somebody in heaven? Are they going to know me? And all this type thing, you know. Most of the time, people think naturally. They're not thinking spiritually. And so the question asked here, as Paul is writing this, what kind of body do we get? You understand? We know this is a physical body. And so what if we plant this one, what do we get in return? That's basically the question that's being asked, okay?
Verse 36, you fool, that which you sow is not quickened or made alive, except it die.
Now, this amuses me with the way Paul responds. They water it down pretty good here, you fool. Kind of a stupid question is that? Actually, the word stupid. Idiots, you know. So what he's trying to do is get people to just think, you know. For something to reproduce, it has to die. In order for seed to be produced, it has to first go into the ground and die. But then we have an assurance, too, that if it dies, then there's going to be a life that comes forth out of that seed. Right? Right. We're just going to break this down as we go along and then try to tie it together, okay?
I will say this before we move any further. I am so glad that I have teachers around me when I ask questions they don't say, stupid fool. Kind of question are you asking? So, because y'all should hear some of the questions that come out of my mouth. But hang with us, because the word does really explain this, and it helps me in that it's given a natural explanation to describe a spiritual concept here. So verse 37, and that which you sow is not that body that shall be, but it is bare grain. It may become wheat or some other grain, or may become of some other grain.
All right, just think about this in the natural. If you take any kind of seed in your hand, it has some type of body, right? Okay. And so what he's saying is that the body that you're sowing is not the body that it's going to become. What you're putting in looks different than what is coming out. And that's the bottom line the message he's trying to convey. And he gives an example. In other words, if you just take and sow a plant, whatever, if you just put a kernel, is actually what the Greek says. If you put a bare kernel, a nude kernel, in other words, it doesn't have that body, just that simple seed body. You put that kernel into the ground, you're expecting a different body to come out of the ground, right? And so what you put in is not what's going to come out. Now, he's trying to get you to think naturally. I know as a kid, my grandparents were farmers, and I would sometimes help them, and I know we'd get like 3 grains of corn, and you know, you lay those furrows off, and then you dig that, and you put those in there, and you cover them back up with dirt. Now, it always amused me is how are those little things going to produce a stalk that's going to have ears in it with a lot of those little grains or kernels in it. Because God designed it that way to produce after its own kind. But the body that went in looks different than the body that comes out. You follow me? Okay.
But God gives it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body.
Now, note this. God's the one that chooses what the body's going to look like. It's not us. I've heard people say, you know, name your seed.
Mm.
Your seed already has a name.
Mm.
You understand? If it's watermelon seeds, you know it's going to produce watermelons.
Mm-hmm.
You can call it anything you want to, but I guarantee you that what will come out will be a watermelon. No, God named the seed. God named the body. God chooses the body. You understand? As to what it's going to look like. Now just stay with us, because he's given you a spiritual truth in all this. Okay?
All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts or animals, another of fishes, and another of birds.
I think all of us in here are intelligent enough to know there's a difference between the body of a person, the body of a fish, the body of a bird, the body of an animal, They're different bodies. God made all of them as it pleased him. You understand? And the interesting thing about that is every one of those bodies comes from a seed. Every one of them comes from a seed. The sperm is a seed. Man looks a lot different than sperm, but what does it do? It produces the man. In it is the ability to for this body to come forth. Okay?
There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another.
Okay, we probably don't use those words too often unless
you
look at some Hollywood movie, but just think of it this way. Celestial is heavenly. Here's the way to keep these separated. Terrestrial is earthly or natural or worldly. Terrain.
Mm-hmm.
Just think of, if it starts with terrain, then it's dealing with the natural, okay? So he says there's heavenly bodies. There's natural bodies. But they don't have the same splendor. They don't have the same glory. The heavenly body has one glory. The natural body or terrestrial body has another glory. But God's made them that way. You understand? Now, just keep this in mind. Natural's important and spiritual's important. But there's a proper sequence. Okay?
There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory.
And here again, he's just using something natural to try to get your attention that everything doesn't look the same way. The sun has its splendor, its brilliance, its brightness. The moon, not as bright, but it's distinct in its own right. The stars, but even the stars are not all the same brilliance. They're different. Do you understand? And God's ordained it this way. So we're not to question what God's ordained. We'd accept what God's ordained. Okay? With an understanding that there are different splendors, there's different glory. Okay?
So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption.
Now think of that in terms of splendor, terms of glory. Which one's more glorious? Obviously not the corruptible, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's sown in corruption. What's he talking about? He's talking about the physical body. But it's raised incorruptible. So, you know, at this moment and this time, these bodies are glorious in what they're assigned to do. They serve a purpose, okay? But the day's coming that this body is to be sown. Just think of your body as seed. And that seed is going to be put into the ground with the expectation of something different coming out of the ground. You with me? You plant natural, but something different's coming out. All right?
It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power.
Now, this is what people get hung up on. What's the difference between the natural body and the spiritual body? What are we talking about? Well, the natural body is easy to understand because you can see it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't see spiritual bodies unless you watch some movie or something of this nature. You follow me? However, men have entertained angels unaware, but they've taken on what it's a physical appearance called a theophany, where a spiritual being manifests like a physical person. That's what happened with Abraham. You know, the angels came down to see about Sodom and Gomorrah, and the Lord with them, and they look like men.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob wrestled with an angel that looked like a man, right? Manoah and his wife, when he told her she was going to have a son, she thought it was a prophet. Manoah thought it was a prophet because it looked that way. But when that, what appeared to be a prophet, went up in a flame of fire, they realized that was not physical. That was not natural. It's something different. Okay? And so we have to understand that the natural body, our natural bodies, are simply a house or a dwelling place. You've got to get that in foremost in your thinking. This body is the dwelling place for me. It's not me. It's the house that I live in. Okay? And so often we have a problem distinguishing. I can't see my spiritual body, but I know it's a spiritual body from the Scriptures. Okay? Now, we're going to look at some things here later on as we get farther into this, but we'll go ahead and let this unfold a little bit.
It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body.
Now, remember I said it's sown?
Mm-hmm.
The natural's put in the ground. The natural came from the ground. The natural's going back into the ground. But God has a plan. And that natural is going to produce something. It's sown a natural body, but it's raised a spiritual body. Now, you see that with Jesus. Okay? You see that with others. Actually, if you read the 27th chapter of Matthew, when Jesus was resurrected, there were also saints who had been dead seen walking the streets of Jerusalem. And see, there's already been that resurrection, those resurrected bodies, okay, who had been dead. But the Spirit is always alive. The Spirit never dies. Never dies, okay? It's eternal. The body's temporary. You have to keep that distinguished. You sow the temporary to get the eternal. If you don't sow the temporary, you don't expect the eternal, right? There's so much to say to this. You have to die to yourself. You know, when you die to yourself, you sow in the temporary. When a person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's crucified with Christ, he dies, and what happens? He passes from death to life. That death brought about a resurrection. You with me? He dies to self so he can live a spiritual life. Okay?
And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit.
Now, note he says first and second.
Mm-hmm.
First man, second man. The first man was natural. Genesis 2:7 says, God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Note that that body did not come alive until God breathed into it. God put his spirit in it. James 2:26 says, for as the body, talking about the physical body, is without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. But here's what my point I want to make. The body without the spirit is dead. Why did that person die? Their spirit left. And when the spirit leaves, the body's gone. I mean, it's dead. There's nothing they can do. They can write anything on a death certificate. But the bottom line is the spirit left the body. It's your spirit that's keeping your body alive. You understand? Okay.
So let's talk about the first Adam and the last Adam.
Okay. He didn't say second Adam. He said first man, second man. But he says first Adam, last Adam. Last there being the Greek word is kados, which simply means final. Jesus, for those who believe, ended the Adamic race. And he started a new race of people. He ended the natural to start the spiritual. That's why he tells us to walk in the Spirit. You follow where I'm coming from? The natural, the first Adam, everything relates to this natural environment. He's in tune with himself. But Jesus came with that natural body produced out of Mary's womb, walk in this earth, never sinning with that natural body, which fulfilled the law and brought an end to flesh dominance to all who will be led by the Spirit. Okay? So he made the provision for man not to be dominated by the flesh. But the way you aren't dominated by the flesh is to get your mind on the Spirit, to see yourself as a spirit being. If you start seeing yourself from a spiritual perspective, then you're not paying attention to the physical man to fulfill the dictates and desires of the physical man. But as long as you're looking at things naturally and physically, you're going to keep feeding this natural man when the provision's already been made for that man to end. First Adam, Jesus the last one. Now when he resurrected, he started a new race of people. Peter talks about it, that we're a chosen generation, a holy nation, a peculiar people. We're a new race. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Obviously, it's not talking about the physical. Because when a person's born again, physically, he still looks like who he looked like. You understand? But what is he talking about? There was a resurrection. Life came in, so he's not following that old man. It's a new man that's being followed now. The old nature's put aside, and the nature of Jesus Christ is the one that's being pursued now. You with me?
I will say this. For me personally, that has not, this whole notion of thinking spiritually and realizing that I'm a spiritual being has not come naturally to me, in that I'm constantly renewing my mind with the Word of God.
Yeah.
And I am constantly reminding myself that this is a house. It's not who I am. Because you understand, this is contradictory to everything that the world would teach us. And so if you're sitting there thinking to yourself, because I used to think this, well, why am I not thinking that way then? It's because I'm having to renew my mind.
Here's the thing about spiritual. People complicate this when it's not that complicated. It is that disciplined, yeah, but not that complicated. Yeah. To walk in the Spirit or to think spiritually means that you think in agreement with the Scriptures. You think in agreement with the Word. You set your mind on the Word. That's what Heather was talking about. We're to renew our minds with the Word of God for the purpose of thinking spiritually. And then if you think spiritually, you'll act spiritually. If you think naturally, you act naturally. And so when we talk about walking in the Spirit, we're talking about thinking in agreement with the Word. And if you're thinking in agreement with the Word, you're not thinking in agreement with the flesh. You're not thinking in agreement with carnality. It's not what the body wants, but what does Jesus want? See, that's what dominates a spirit-filled life, is doing what Jesus wants. And if a person is not spirit-filled, they're going to be full of flesh, and they're going to follow the life of the flesh. Do you understand that? When we say walking in the Spirit, we're not talking about something spooky and out there. We're just talking about walking in agreement with the Word of God. Stand in agreement with the Word of God. Think like God thinks. Don't think like the world. Now, here's a real caution. You must choose not to think like the world.
Mm-hmm.
That means that you have to shut yourself off from the avenues the world is trying to use to get into you through whatever media that may be.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's TV, whether it's books, whether it's people talking to you, whatever. You've got to watch what you subject yourself to. You subject yourself to natural things. Those natural things are going to influence your life. But if you subject yourself to the Word of God and to things of the Spirit of God, then those things will influence your life to go toward Jesus and away from the flesh. Does that make sense to you? Okay.
Speaking personally again, I had an experience today, just this afternoon, where I had a choice to make, a literal choice. I could choose to believe the Word of God that was being spoken over me and allow those spiritual promises to come to pass and to come to fruition eventually in the natural, or I could choose to stay in the natural and go with what my body was telling me was happening at the time, what other people who weren't in tune with the Word of God might be speaking over me. We do the same thing with every spiritual promise that God offers to us. We have to consciously make the decision. Do I wholeheartedly believe? Am I fully persuaded in this Word of God to where then this Word, that seed that's planted in my heart, can then produce and manifest itself? And so I know I don't mean to go on a rabbit trail, but I do want to tell you that it is a discipline. It requires renewing your mind for these spiritual principles to grow inside of your heart, if you will, for the revelation of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, to come alive in you for this. This is all spiritual. We can't look at it naturally. And so I giggled at the beginning of this, you fool. Because you sure heard the questions I was asking and have asked about this. But we have to look at this spiritually, is what I'm encouraging you to do.
Think about it this way. The law is spiritual.
Yes.
When you look at the nation of Israel, and Joshua and Moses and Joshua both set before the nation life and death. It's a choice. Life meant that you followed that spiritual law. We call it the law of Moses, but it was a spiritual law. If you followed that, which was the Word of God, if you followed what God said, you got life. If you did not follow what God said, it resulted in death. You with me? You choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You going to serve God, the true and living God, or are you going to serve the gods of the land? And it's an amazing thing how flesh always, always goes contrary to the desires of God. Flesh goes contrary to what gives you life. But it'll tell you this is the life.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? But it's just natural, temporary stuff that's leading you to death. what the world calls life leads to death. God's life in us not only illuminates us now, but we are assured of perpetual life. That's where, to the believer, he never dies because he's already passed from death to life. That's why you see the word sleep used so often, just like Jesus talking about Lazarus. Lazarus sleeps, but I'm going to go wake him up. Now, the disciples didn't understand what he meant, and so he finally just had to speak in a language they could understand. Lazarus is dead. He's physically dead. But I'm going to go wake that physical body up. Why? I'm going to usurp the authority of the natural with the Spirit. I'm going to override the natural by the Spirit. You understand? Using the authority of God. And so, when we follow this word, it's producing life, it's producing spirit, just like the law of Moses led to life. It's a spiritual thing. This word is a spiritual thing. But we just look at it as a natural book. And if you look at it as a natural book, that's all it'll ever be to you. But when this becomes a living word, active on the inside of you, to where you're hearing the word talk to you. This is the way, walk in it. And so you're following the word instead of the world, and that's walking in the Spirit. That's being spiritual rather than natural. Does that make sense? Okay.
Okay. I got behind you. I'm on verse 46.
Okay.
How be it? That was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual.
Which came first? The seed came first. The natural came first. But after the natural was sown, you think about this, Jesus' body had to die in order to have a resurrection, right? And so the natural came first, it was sown, but then the spiritual came in the resurrection. Jesus did not resurrect in a natural body. It was a spiritual body. Now I'm going to show you some things with that here as we go along.
Okay. Let's keep going. Okay. 47. The first man, I'm sorry, I was thinking about what's coming. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven.
The first man came out of the dirt. The second man came out of the sky. Right? One came from the earth, one came from heaven. Now, which one are we going to relate to? First man or second man? Second man's better. Mm-hmm. And so in order to relate to the second man, you got to bury the first man. Right? The natural man, the carnal thinking.
As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly.
Those who are natural are going to be like the natural world. But those who are heavenly, spiritual, they're not going to be thinking like the world. It's like John 17, Jesus said that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. In other words, we may be surrounded with this perverse and crooked generation that we're living in, but we're not a part of it. We don't participate in their thinking or their activities. What we do is keep our mind on the Lord, and in the midst of the crooked and perverse generation, we shine as lights. In other words, we're illuminating life to the world through the Word. You understand? But you have to get it alive in you in order for other people to see it. And this is called walking in the Spirit, to where your life is dominated by the Word of God, not by the world. Okay?
And we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly.
Another happy thought.
Yeah.
You couldn't help being born natural. It just, I mean, everybody's born natural. So what happens when you're natural? You're acting like Adam. You've got the nature of Adam. You're the carnal. You're thinking about the flesh. That's why from the time we're born, we want what we want. Man, if a baby doesn't get what he wants, he cries.
Mm.
And as you get older, it gets worse. Right? We were earthly, so we acted earthly. But now that we're from heaven, we're to act like heaven, not like the earth. We'll come back to this, our time's up. And so we'll have to come back to this after the break, okay?
Okay.